This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Showzilla, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. A lot going on today. A pair of tickets to Phillies Rockies tomorrow on the line. What is Hugh Douglas afraid of was your first clue for Hugh's Clues. What was the second clue again? It's potential on the loose in the city?
Yes.
Okay, so we got that. Clue number three coming later this hour for you if you guys need it. Gut feeling, is the tush push gone? My feeling is, yeah. I think the fact that Roger Goodell is now on that side of this thing, it's telling what I heard yesterday from Goodell. 215-592-9494. Let's go out to the guest line, a guy that we had on yesterday. We'll bring him on again today. It's an important day to have him on. Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Seven to the fifth C, that's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing today?
Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing today?
What's going on, man?
Well, Elliot, we're good. Now, before we get into anything here with the Eagles and the tush push and Lurie, we want to play some audio and just have you walk us through what happened yesterday on with the afternoon show. And it sounded like this.
On ESPN, so they're all talking about it. Every highlight they showed, he was literally being pushed in the end zone.
Wow, a bird literally just went on me standing.
Good luck for you.
Yes.
Good luck.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You got pooped on by a bird?
What is that?
It's good luck.
Yeah, I was like, what's that warm thing on my hand? And I just looked over.
It on your hand?
Oh, man, it got your hand?
Yeah.
Oh.
Man, on my ring, too. That's,
on my ring. You know.
So yeah, that could be a bad
look,
sign.
This is, yep. Well, it's my aura ring. It's not my wedding ring. Oh.
All right, Elliot.
His aura.
Did you see it coming?
What is an aura ring?
I don't know. Were they flying over you? What happened there?
Well, so first, Ike not knowing what an aura ring is, acting like I need a ring for aura. Like, come on. I think the trophy for the 2025 Eagles Insider of the Year.
That's what I'm talking about.
That, you
talk
know? So, yeah,
talk.
I don't need a ring for aura.
Talk.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, you know, I was doing my job. Like, look, moments are like that. That's why you go to college, right? That's why I went
that's
to Temple.
What I'm talking about.
You go to college, you get pooped on by a bird. I agree.
Yeah, and I just kept it moving, kept giving that insight, kept.
I love
kept
this new Elliott Shore. I love this guy right here, man. He's leaning way into that. He's going for the back to back.
Yeah, back to back, exactly.
Eagles Insider of the Year.
I keep forgetting what that is.
But it's important you know.
Sorry, just remember the name. That's all that matters. But no, I mean,
is there an acronym we can come up with? No, go ahead.
Something there, but no. Look, it got on my shirt, which wasn't fun. I had to.
You had to change clothes.
Well, the tough thing is Jeffrey Lurie talked like 10 minutes later. So what I had to do was go in the bathroom, wipe it off my shirt. I am thankful it didn't get in my hair. That would have been bad.
Oh,
then
yeah,
I might have just had to miss
you'd
Jeffrey
have missed
at
the
that
whole
point.
Day.
Yeah, decisions would have had to be made. But no, I mean, look, that's the risk of the job. But I'll just say this. I'm doing this radio interview from inside today, so hopefully no birds. You know,
I'm not mad at you.
I won't make that mistake twice.
So speaking of the Jeffrey Lurie, when he was up there talking, because it felt like he came off like he's kind of tired of, you know, rehashing this. Did you kind of get that feeling when he was up there on the stage?
Yeah, I think the Eagles and Jeffrey, I think, you know, really dismantled the whole anti-tush-push argument up at his press conference. But being here the past few days, the sense I get from the Eagles is, look, they don't think it should be banned. They don't think it's fair that the play is being targeted. But I also think they're probably a little resigned to the fact that it probably is going to. And they know that with Jalen Hurts and the offensive line they have and Jeff Stoutland, they're still going to convert a very large percentage of these short yardage situations. So they got their Super Bowl. They created a play that I think is going to be the first play in the history of the NFL that's been banned simply because of how successful it is. So, yeah, I think that to your point about Jeffrey yesterday, yeah, I think he wants it to remain, but I think they've probably lost a little bit of the energy for this fight.
Yeah, I thought the best part of yesterday with Jeff Elliott was when he dove into the aesthetics of it, because once they acknowledge that there's no data to injuries, they're just nervous. Okay, there's nothing really there. Okay, that's fine. So, but then Rich McKay moved to, well, it doesn't look like a football play. People don't like it. And I thought Lurie made good points there. I mean, you know, back in the day, people said that about the forward pass. Obviously, that's not this. But I could point out like five plays that happen all the time, Elliot, that are not aesthetically pleasing. The kneel down, the spike. You know, when a punter runs out of the back of the end zone just to save time or to kind of waste time at the end of a game or end of the half or whatever. Those are all like silly plays that are not aesthetically pleasing. That's not a reason to get rid of a play.
Yeah, or how about all the years the Saints made us watch Taysom Hill play like four different positions
yes.
on offense? Like,
they lied to us about Taysom Hill, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't aesthetically pleasing. But I thought that the best phrase he had in that answer was, it isn't a relevant critique. Like, yeah, that's cool that these other people don't think it's aesthetically pleasing. This is a billion-dollar organization that the NFL is going to make a big decision about. And so it's just not really relevant if, you know, Matt LaFleur or Sean McVay don't think it's an aesthetically pleasing play. Like, it shouldn't be relevant. But here's the other thing, too, that I think really set in being here in Florida and being at the owners' meetings the past few days is just that, like, they're not going to change their mind, right? Like, coming into the meetings, I think there was, to what you had just said, with the health and safety thing. I think the Eagles came prepared to make an argument. Look, there's no health and safety data to support that, you know, this is a dangerous play. Could somebody get hurt on it? Yes, and hopefully that does not happen. But the data is just not on that side. I think what they ran into was just a side that doesn't really care about rational arguments. Like, if you just don't like something, you just don't like something. There's really nothing the Eagles can do to convince people that it's an aesthetically pleasing play if they just don't think it is. Now, to what Jeffrey said, I don't think that's relevant. But unfortunately, that's the way this has gone. And I do think the play will get banned.
Elliot Shore Parks with us as he was at the owners' meetings this week down in Florida. Elliot, also the subject of Nick Sirianni's contract came up, which came up yesterday morning with Nick, and then we talked to you about it, then Jeff spoke about it. I think we all recognize it's going to get done. They're not going to let him go into the season as a lame duck. We were just having a little conversation earlier, speculating how high his salary will be in terms of the rest of the NFL coaches. So it looks like Andy Reid is the highest paid coach at $20 million per year. And then you look at the other top five guys in the NFL. I believe Sean Payton is second at 18, Tomlin 16, Jim Harbaugh 16, Sean McVay 15. How high do you think Sirianni's going to go? I mean, he and his agent obviously could ask for top of the market. How, when it's all said and done and he gets a contract extension, where do you think, what range will Sirianni rank in terms of average salary for a coach?
So I would be pretty surprised if he passes those guys. I just think that, look, Nick is going into these negotiations with a great resume and a great argument. But I also think those guys have been doing it way longer, at least, you know, some of them that you said. They are more accomplished than Nick. But I think that we're focusing on the wrong number here. I don't think the annual salary is probably what this is going to come down to. I think you need to be focusing on the years. And I know with NFL contracts, we talk about, you know, average money, guaranteed, and like because of void years and stuff, the length doesn't really matter for the contract. In this case, I think it does because, you know, no one thinks Nick's going to get fired at the end of next year. It would be pretty surprising if Nick is not the head coach for at least two more seasons. But we also all thought that Doug was going to be here for a really long time after he won the Super Bowl. So when Jeffrey is looking at a contract, and I think what it could come down to is how long out is he going to go? Nick has 1 year left on his deal. If does Nick want a five-year extension where all of a sudden Jeffrey is on the hook for, you know, let's say $15 million a year for six full years? Like, I think Jeffrey has been proven to be an owner that pays, but you don't want to be in a position where if, you know, things do fall apart, and we've seen that they happen, you're paying a head coach for 4 years that's not even coaching your team. So the average salary does matter, obviously, but I think the length of the contract is the bigger kind of interesting part of this.
Ellie, other thing from Lurie yesterday was, you know, he was asked a question about, is it hard to say the team right now is as good as the team that walked off the field in the Super Bowl? And he spun it more around to, hey, we were great last year. And then he did say, you know, they have to make tough decisions and looking long term. When you've put kind of pieced this offseason together from Howie to Lurie to Nick, what sense do you get in terms of how all in they are to win the Super Bowl next year versus how much they're prioritizing the next few years?
So before I came down to Florida, I was more in the camp of they're prioritizing the next few years. This isn't about 2025. Leaving Florida, I think they are more all in than maybe they're being given credit for a couple reasons. One, just their roster alone makes them all in. They have, if not the best roster in the NFL, it's certainly a top three or four roster. So they're going to be a competitive roster. And while I think the reason we think that maybe they're not all in is because they're playing younger guys, they're going to give Sidney Brown a chance, they're going to give Kelee Ringo a chance. We'll see what they do at guard. The sense I get being down here is they know they have the assets to go out and make a trade if they need to. So, you know, come August when, you know, we're doing shows down in the trailer at training camp, if we're all sitting there and saying, hey, Sidney Brown's not getting it done, or man, this right guard spot's an issue, they're not just going to let that player go into the season and tank the year. They will make a trade. So I think they do have the long view in the room, but I still feel they are, you know, pretty all in on trying to win.
Elliot, let's end with this. We are, what, 3 weeks away from the NFL draft? Are you ready to shift into Elliot Shore Park's Kuiper mode? And are you ready for the draft here?
Uh-oh.
Of course. I got my big boards ready to go. I'm going to, you know, top 10 for each position. And, you know, I think it's an interesting draft for this team for sure. I think whenever they're at 32, everybody says, oh, they're just going to trade the pick. Like, we're going to sit there all night at the draft party and they're just going to trade it. And they could. But I actually think they're much more likely to trade up or much more likely to just keep the pick. Because one thing we have heard all year is that, you know, they're already paying a lot of players, and they're going to be paying a lot of players in the future, guys like Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith. So the 32nd pick and that fifth-year option, that's incredibly valuable to this team, to lock in a first-round talent if you can hit on it and have him cost-controlled. So, yeah, I'll get the big boards ready, but I do think on draft night we are going to see them pick a player.
Well, I hope we do. That'll be exciting. Elliot, thank you for hopping on the last couple days and fighting through the bird issue, because that's toughness right there.
That's inside of the year type stuff.
I'm about to go back out to the pool for a few hours before my plane takes off, so hopefully that bird doesn't come back for me.
Yeah, yes, leave
gotta,
you alone.
Finish
yeah.
the job.
Gotta keep fighting.
What a tough week. Head to the pool. All right, thank you, Elliot. We'll talk soon.
All right, talk to you guys.
There he goes, Elliot Shore Parks there. Yeah, it's Eagles Insider of the Year.
So, yeah, I keep forgetting the name because I want to say something else.
Do you want to do an acronym? Could be EIOTF. Is that too much?
Yeah, that's too much.
Okay. Kind of
EOFT.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. All right, 215.
That
doesn't. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Matt and Broomall is up talking tush push. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, Matt?
So, as an Eagles fan, obviously, I do not want the tush push band. It's a simple play for us. If it's third and one or fourth and one, you know we're pretty much automatically picking up the first down. Mm-hmm. But if I'm looking at it from an unbiased perspective as just an NFL fan, I have a point where I think it should be banned, and I don't really know why it's not brought up more when people are arguing for it, especially like defensive players. I don't know why they don't bring this up more. So, you know, players get behind Hurts, running backs, tight ends, and they're pushing him from behind. But if a linebacker was to get behind the defensive tackle and push him towards the O-line, they would get penalized for it. So I just, it really doesn't seem fair to me that that's the case, because that totally just gives the advantage to the offense. And I just don't know why, if you guys have heard that before, or why it's not brought up more, but it seems like that's where it kind of becomes unfair to me.
So, I mean, one thing that is interesting about this, and I think it goes to your point, this play, obviously it just became a thing, like seriously, with the Eagles the last 4 years, but the rule back to, I think, 04, they changed it. It would have been illegal with the old rule. And then, obviously, the Eagles eventually realized, hey, we could do this. I think, Matt, to your point, that's why they're kind of looking at that old rule, and they might. I think they're going to reword this to go back to the old rule, and that would not allow it, because it kind of counteracts what you're saying there. Like, one side can't do it, why can the other do it?
Yeah, I mean, if I was a linebacker, it would piss me off that I wasn't able to get behind my D tackle and push him, because then it would probably make it more closer to a 50-50 play. I feel like it would definitely be stopped more. But then I guess there'd probably be more injuries with it if they were both doing it. But I mean, that's just the point I had. It just kind of doesn't make sense to me that one side can do it and one can't.
Yeah, I wonder when they fixed the rule, Matt. Good phone call. I wonder when they changed, because he around 04 they tweaked the rule and that allowed the Eagles to think they could do this. I wonder when they did that, if they ever anticipated the tush push becoming a thing. They probably didn't.
I don't think so. And then not only that. When was this conception? At what point was it, when Jalen was drafted, when did it become
the first
a serious
time
thing?
I remember it was Sirianni's first year here, 2021. They played the Panthers early in the season, And I remember them kind of running a version of the tush push by the goal line. It was like mm-hmm. They were on the half yard line, the 1 yard line, and they mm-hmm. it kind of looked like a quarterback sneak, but they kind of shoved him at the end. And then I didn't think until 2022 it became like everyone's talking. It's almost like, you know how we found out that some players were using the torpedo bats last year, but then it like exploded this past weekend?
Yeah, this weekend.
So I think the Eagles might have been using it a little bit in 21, but then 22 they used it a lot, and it became a story.
And then the thing that gets me is that other teams that have tried to emulate it, they can't do it the way that the Eagles do it because this is a copycat league. And then all of a sudden, it became one of those things where, okay, if we can't do it, then nobody can do it.
Get it out of here for them.
Yeah, you did a self-edit to yourself.
Yeah, I did. Well, it was almost. Let's go to Gary in Delaware. What's up, Gary? I've been working with you too long. Gary, what's up?
We're starting to rub off.
What's up, Gary?
Gary?
Hello?
Gare, what's up?
Hey.
You didn't hit it with the Gare, did you?
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Gare Bear.
Hey,
what's going on, man?
Long time listener, first time caller.
I appreciate you, Gary. What are you thinking today?
I'm livid over this push. I'll tell you why. I really think because the vote was delayed, unfortunately, I think it's going to be history. Unfortunately, because of the delay. My question is, why can't all the other 31 teams come to the party? Why can't they come to the party?
Like, why can't they do it too?
Right, exactly. I mean, I understand. Didn't Green Bay run the play twice against us, and we couldn't stop it?
Yeah, so I think every team has probably run it a couple times here and there.
Somewhat of a variation.
Yeah, but only the Eagles and Buffalo seem to have any real success with it.
Right, exactly. Well, I know Sean McDermott's been running his mouth about players getting hurt. When was the last time, Joe, we ever saw a player get hurt from the tush push?
Never.
I know,
he hurt himself, though. Chris Jones.
Oh, Chris Jones, because he lined up sideways.
Yeah, he hurt himself.
Yeah, right. But there's no data. Like, Gary, the Eagles went to the meetings this week, and the doctor stood up and said it's dangerous, and they said, okay, well, show us the data. And they're like, well, we don't have any, but it looks dangerous. That doesn't work.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. The other teams, I think they're just jealous that we can run the place so successful, and they just can't. But, you know, a lot of your comments earlier was about other plays that are not, you know, that are not like glamour plays, mm-hmm. but they exist.
Right.
So when do we draw the line? When are we going to stop trying to ban plays or what? I mean, it's to me, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. I mean, you can't, like if you say it, we're getting rid of this because it's not aesthetically pleasing. Then you've opened a can of worms. Like, I could pick out five plays that are just ugly looking, and I want them gone too. Gary, give us a guess for Hugh's Clues. Yeah. What is Hugh afraid of?
I think what Hugh could be afraid of, and I know I would be snakes.
Well, Gary, Hugh is afraid of snakes. And Gary, you're going to the Phillies game tomorrow, 105.
Oh,
you are, Gary. Good job.
Good job.
Yes, Gary,
Gary. Well,
yes.
Thank you,
Gary. We appreciate you. Hugh, you are afraid of snakes.
Yes, I am.
And we found out.
A lot of people are afraid of snakes.
Yeah, this
that's
not
what's exclusive to Hugh.
It's not just like a commitment
thing.
Well,
no, it's not like bodies of water or commitment.
And, you know, that commitment thing kind of. People text me talking about they laugh.
Got cooked with that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It just hit.
It just hit home. I felt it,
yeah.
No, it was almost like, that ain't it. That's not it.
All right, so the reason that the snake thing came up is...
What the hell brings a snake to the city, man?
Well, Kyle told us this morning that there was a situation a couple days ago in the city where there was a python.
Yeah, I saw on the internet that there was a snake on the loose in Philly, mm-hmm. on the parkway. And
a snake loose on the parkway.
Not just any snake. This is like an albino python.
Burmese python,
a
right?
Huge, like a very large snake.
Okay, so we need your help here. If you've seen this python or you know its whereabouts, please tell us because I want to avoid that area of the city at all costs.
Well, if it's in the city, if it's still running around, it's probably asleep somewhere because it's cold.
Still running around.
Well, the way I said it didn't make
sense. You get a little worried
about
the little fella with the cold weather.
Yeah, because it's the weather. You probably in the upper room because it's been cold the last couple nights and it rained.
I don't know. I mean,
so I'm going to find this picture. I'm going to post it on the internet.
Yeah, post it on our Twitter account. If you've seen this thing, if you know its whereabouts, tell us because
like buddy who brought the alligator to the game? The what was it called? The emotional
Wally.
Support alligator.
Yeah, weren't you into that, Kyle? Wally?
I'm still in favor of allowing it into the ballpark. It's an emotional support bet.
No, man, go on with that, man.
So do we think this snake made it into the bar or just stood out? You think he left it outside, thought it would be there when he got back? I'm going to get a couple drinks. You stay right here.
I don't know. Like, I heard that there might have been a guy.
That's what I'm saying. What's wrong with you, man? Like, seriously. Like, I understand everybody marches to the beat of their own drum.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with you? Why would you go to a public place knowing that you can't bring the damn snake with you? And then it's not like you're leaving a dog outside or anything. Well, you shouldn't do that either. But still, what's wrong with you, man? You just leave the snake outside.
A trained dog on a leash is one thing.
Yeah. But even that, Joe, you don't leave a dog outside by itself.
I agree, especially because you don't know who's fearful of dogs. I wouldn't, but at least that you'd say, okay, this dog is probably house trained. The snake is probably not. I mean, it's a python. So.
Sometimes when you like that, man, you just need to stay home. Like when you have
the python
kind
of, or the person?
Well, the person that has the python thinking that they're gonna go grab an adult beverage and the snake is gonna be allowed in. What's wrong with you? Like, seriously, what's wrong with you?
So what's your reaction if you're just walking down the street and you see this thing? Because I'm sprinting the
I'm
other
scared,
way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm scared, yeah. Well, like
well, my first thought is this. I'm not about to freak out, but if that snake bites me, then you're gonna have a problem.
But how are you going to trace it back to the person who owns it?
No, I thought you meant the snake. He was walking down the street with the snake.
No, and the snake's by itself, causing trouble, and it bites you. You're not going to be able to
if the snake's by itself, causing trouble, what's he doing? He's banging cans together, talking about rah, rah. He's waving a flag. He's waving a terrible towel.
I imagine if a snake's on the loose, it's causing trouble.
He's rabble-rousing. Oh, my goodness.
You think he's going for a peaceful walk down the street?
I don't know, man.
That's not something you want on the loose in the city.
No. I didn't think we had snakes just walking around Philadelphia.
Apparently we do. Pythons
around.
Of all things.
Somebody about to go to jail. Whoever lost the snake.
I'll put the snake in jail just to get it off the street. All right,
that's ridiculous.
Let's go to Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Yo, good afternoon, Hugh, Joe. And Kyle, what's going on?
Tyler, what's up? We're just talking about some snakes here. That's all.
Hey, first of all, the snake slithers, Hugh. It doesn't walk. It slithers.
Kyle, we kind of assessed that when we were laughing and giggling about what I said. But thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, shout out to Kyle real quick, though. I was working as a waitress in a hotel bar, eating Scrapple hoagies all day.
Man, he made a whole song.
He did. Well, Mr. Quinn has become quite the character. And I, at first I was like, man, is he going to yell at his son on the air? And he does. He just yells at the guy.
I tell you, Kyle makes this show. Like, he puts it over the top. Like, you and Hugh, Joe,
I agree,
are awesome. But Kyle puts y'all into upper echelon status.
Well, and his dad contributes now, too. I mean, we're the whole family part of this thing. Go ahead, Tyler.
But, hey, before I get to the tush push, congratulations to Gary. That's a big-time W. First time, long time to call and guess snakes. That's awesome. So I hope he has a good time tomorrow.
Yeah, because Taiwan about to light that thing up like a Christmas tree.
Gary, we're
lights out.
We're sorry for the Taiwan part of this. But
nine Ks.
Nine strikeouts? Yeah. Why are you lying to the audience? Why would you?
No, I'm not lying. I'm being optimistic.
Q, you're going for nine Ks of Phillies W and 100 bones on that thing?
Now, the two of those are good to go.
Can
that,
I get
that third one?
Can I get nine outs? Just in any way he gets them. I just want nine outs from Taiwan tomorrow.
I think Taiwan's gonna surprise everybody.
No, first you said $100, then you walked it back and said $25. So you got to be in or out on that. So that's all I'm saying.
I'm hedging.
We need confidence.
Now that's another thing I'm afraid of, spending money.
That would have been an easy answer.
Save that money, Hugh. Save that money.
Save that money.
But hey, great combo on the tush push today. Joe, I feel like that tush push is going to be in the race car with Hugh, and it's going to drive off into the sunset because this just feels to me like a witch hunt on the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. It does feel like that.
This is like them coming after us after a play that they haven't been able to master, that the Eagles have mastered because they have the right personnel. They have the right way to run it with the quarterback who, say anything you want, but Jalen Hurts can squat 600 pounds. You don't have some lean green bean back there. You got a grown man back there.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it just seems like, and I want to ask you both this. Has there ever been a play where the commissioner has overstepped or stepped in when the coaches are at a dead heat?
You know, that's a good question. Yeah, Tyler, I don't know the answer to that. And Tyler, it's a good phone call and a good question. Here's what I know. Goodell ultimately works for the owners here.
Yeah, he's their guy.
So I don't know how many real opinions he has on football. Maybe he has a lot, maybe he doesn't. But I know he's got to echo their opinions, right? So my guess is he wants it out because they
want it out.
And he's going to speak for them, and he's going to he sometimes he's the bad guy because they don't want to be the bad guys. And I think that might be going on here. 215-592-9494. All right, more of your phone calls on the other side. What's your gut feeling? Do you think the tush push will be banned? And Albert Breer with the latest. The real reason he thinks the tush push will be banned. We'll hit that next. Your calls. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.